All right, before the special, we'll have our scripture reading, so if we could all stand. Leviticus chapter 7 this morning. Leviticus chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 11 through 15. I'll start reading if you'll read the evens with me responsively. Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. If ye offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, ye shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it ye shall offer one of the whole for a heavy offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Let's pray. Lord, we again thank you so much this morning. Lord, I pray you'd prepare our hearts as we hear the message. Lord, give the preacher the strength and his voice. Lord, I pray you just be with the special as it's being sung. Lord, to prepare us, Lord, as we hear the singing, Lord, I pray that we would then listen to what's been said and act upon it, Lord, in our lives. Lord, give us a good morning. We'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
The good music. Now, I'm going to use this microphone again this morning, say right here behind the pulpit. I don't feel bad. I have no sore throat, no headache. I just don't have anything in my lungs that had been congested for some time now, and hopefully getting some better. I slept through the night last night for the first time without waking up for about 2.5 weeks, and so I was glad to do that last night. And but there's just not a whole lot of energy in the lungs, and I know that'll be a blessing to some. A little boy came up to me not too long ago, one of the little boys in our church here, and he said, looking at me with a funny look, curious, "Preacher," he's looking at me, cocking his head, "why do you preach so loud?" I said, "so I can keep you awake." Amen. So sometimes that doesn't even work, huh? But anyway, I'll get right here into the microphone. And I want to talk to us this morning about a blessed benefit of a thankful heart. A blessed benefit of a thankful heart. That's what I want to talk about this morning. A blessed benefit of a thankful heart. Because of the season, the occasion of Thanksgiving, I'll talk about it this morning. A blessed benefit of a thankful heart. Lord, we are thankful. And God, thank you for the benefits that you allow us to enjoy if we'll be thankful. Big difference in saying thank you and being thankful. So help us to be thankful, as you told us to. And help me the message this morning to speak to our hearts and give me the energy, Lord, from the lungs to preach the message, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. I'm glad that over the years, some years ago, and it was more than just 1 year, but I'm glad that certain people in our nation worked to set aside the fourth Thursday in November as an annual day of Thanksgiving. Now, you understand that we don't isolate our Thanksgiving to one day out of the year. You understand that. But I'm glad we recognize Thanksgiving. I'm glad it's a holiday. And I'm glad it was done years ago. If it were left up to our current political leaders to initiate a Thanksgiving holiday, it would be a combination of confusion and insanity. That's the honest truth. They would attempt to find a way to bring every deity and so-called God into the celebration so as not to offend anybody. And, you know, George Washington, he had no such trouble. He simply began his Thanksgiving proclamation like this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is how it starts. Listen to this. "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor," so forth and so on, he enacted a day of Thanksgiving. You know what I love about that? So simple. So pure, so singular. So singular. Not Allah. Not some choice, you know, your choice of some 200 million gods out there. No, he just said, look, we're going to give thanks to Almighty God. There's no explanation necessary as to who Almighty God is. We don't have to worry about that, okay? Because there is none other. There's only one. And so no apologies necessary because they all understood who Washington was referring to. He's referring to Almighty God. No room for atheism. No room for pantheism. No room for polytheism. Just we're going to praise and thank God, the one true God. Now, so Thanksgiving. It's a time for being grateful to God. But Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. Thanksgiving is a life choice. It's a life choice, and an important one at that. It's one thing to say thank you, right? It's one thing to say thank you, Lord, for filling all the blanks. It's something else altogether different to be thankful. Be thankful for and fill in the blanks. And so learning to be thankful has tremendous benefits for me and you. Now, the first time the word Thanksgiving or any of its derivatives are found in the Bible is in this passage in Leviticus chapter 7. And you gotta pay attention to the law of first mention. Where's the first place in the Bible that something is mentioned? And here in Leviticus chapter 7, you have the first mention of thanksgiving. Now, in this passage, God gives instructions concerning the peace offerings. You know, there were several offerings that the Old Testament Jews were required to give as a part of their worship of God. And the peace offering was one of them. Now, the peace offering was made up of three different kinds of offerings. Now, one of those was a thanksgiving offering, which is talked about right here. And the thanksgiving offering was just that. It was an expression of gratitude. An expression of gratitude for blessings received. And that is the one that's described for us here in verses 11 through 15. This is how a Jewish man is to lead his family in a Thanksgiving offering, a Thanksgiving peace offering. All right? So it was part of the peace offerings. Now, here's something that I think is necessary. It's necessary for us to notice. I want you to notice that Thanksgiving was a part of the peace offering. And as you read about this offering in verses 11 through 15, you read the word peace four times, and you read the word thanksgiving four times. Peace is used four times, and thanksgiving is used four times. Now, in order to have peace, this is what I want to talk about this morning. In order to have peace, there are other necessary elements that you must have, or you won't have peace. There are things that are prerequisites for peace. If you took college classes, you had prerequisites. You couldn't take one class until you had a previous one. The one class was needed for the second one. All right? So prerequisite classes. Well, there are prerequisites for peace. Now, the first thing that we always think about, the one that always comes to our mind when we think about having peace, is the prerequisite of justification. We're not going to talk about that this morning. Let me just mention it. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice the justification is a prerequisite for the peace. If you're going to have peace with God, in order to have peace with God, you must be justified, which is another word for salvation. You must be saved. You must be born again. Pardon me. You must be a part of God's family. Until a person becomes a part of God's family, they cannot have peace with God. That's one of the reasons there's so much craziness in this world today. People are trying to find peace with God through avenues that don't produce peace with God. I said some of them last week. I won't go. You can't find peace with God through a bottle. You can't find peace with God through escaping your circumstances or your situations by going on some drug high. You can't find peace with God by indulging in pleasure, by just hoping you can pleasure it away. The only time you can find peace with God is when you get saved and the war in your soul gets settled. Okay? And you get saved, the Bible says, through repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. When you come to Jesus Christ, in repentance and faith, you get saved. Repentance, the Bible says, toward God for your sin. Our sin is against God. All of our sin is against God. And when we sin against God, we are sinning against the highest that there is. There is none higher than God Almighty. That's who our sin is against. And so we have to come in repentance. We're sorry for our sin against God. And we have to come in faith. Faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as being sufficient for the payment of our sin. So I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry, God. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you multiple times. I have a nature that's that causes me to live in violation of your will. And I'm sorry for that. And I'm thankful that Jesus died and that he was buried and that he rose again to pay the sin debt for me. And God, I'm sorry for my sin, but I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust Christ as my Savior. Now, if you've never come to God and the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, you are not saved. You are not born into God's family. And you will never find peace with God apart from that. It's a prerequisite for peace. I lived for 18 years as a child of the devil. I lived for 18 years apart from God's family. And lived for 18 years, and I was a mess. And there was all kinds of inner turmoil because I was at war with God because of my sin. And the night I got on my knees and came in repentance and faith for salvation, when I stood up off my knees, peace had flooded my soul. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. Amen? I feel sorry for you. You need to come to Christ in repentance and faith and be saved and have the war, the conflict with God settled in your heart. It's a prerequisite. Justification. Salvation. Now, I want to talk about this. What I want to talk about this morning, that's the result of justification is peace. Now, there's another element that's key for peace, and that's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a prerequisite for peace. Listen carefully. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be ye thankful. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7 tells us to come to God with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, and the peace of God will be our portion. So thanksgiving is a prerequisite for peace. Our inner peace of mind and our inner peace of heart is directly connected to the practice of thanksgiving. If we spend our days griping and complaining about what we don't like or what we don't have or what we can't understand, then it will be impossible for us to have peace. If our lives are filled with griping and complaining and murmuring, there, you know, I wonder how many people, physical ailments, I wonder how many physical ailments are the direct result of no peace in the mind and heart. I believe with all my heart. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not, if you're having to take some medicine to help you, I'm on some prescription medicine right now. Erythromycin, I think it is, to get rid of this stuff and several days of it because I had a bad case of it. And I'm going to tell you something. The medical industry is making a killing off the fact that people don't have peace. And people think it's found in a prescription pill bottle. We have more medical technology. We have less peace in our country. I'm not talking about national peace. I'm talking about individual peace. We have less peace in our country we've ever had. People in turmoil. Yep. People in confusion. You look at, you wonder, is there a correlation between all the sicknesses and the maladies and the unthankfulness that is common in people today? You see, with thanksgiving comes peace. With unthankfulness comes no peace. And with no peace comes anxiety, comes worry, comes griping, comes complaining. All those things, I believe, take a toll on people physically. Where if we'll learn to be thankful, there'll be a lot of inner peace. Be a lot of inner peace. Now, what can we learn from this? How is this peace and thanksgiving? How's all this connected? All right. Number one, about thanksgiving. It has to be a choice of will. It has to be a choice of will. Don't turn to it, but listen to Leviticus chapter 22 and verse number 29. And the Bible says, and talking about this right here, same offering. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Did you hear that? They said, look, you know, for a lot of those Old Testament offerings, they had a specific day they had to be offered on. You know what I'm talking about? The Day of Atonement was offered on a specific day of a specific month every year. And the Passover, specific days, specific months every year. The peace offering had no specific time. The peace offering wasn't supposed to be offered on the seventh day, the tenth day, the twelfth day, the 21st day. The peace offering was made at your own will. Whenever the head of a family thought, you know what, it's time for us to offer a thanksgiving offering as a part of the peace offering. Whenever the man, the head of the family, would choose to offer a peace offering or a thanksgiving offering as a part of the peace offerings because he was grateful for the blessings he received. It was done willingly. It was done willingly. It was done willingly. Now listen, when we were young, it was our parents who prompted us to be thankful. Did your parents ever tell you? Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Say thank you. Tell them thank you. Go over there and tell them thank you. And we walked over and thank you. Okay. Now, and usually it was well received with a "you're welcome." And that's okay when you're 3, 4, and 5. But when you're 23 and 34 and 45, We ought not have to be prompted to say thank you. You know, a little boy, 3, 4, or 5, a little girl, 3, 4, or 5, is just obeying the command of his parent. Be thankful. Go over and tell him thank you. I had to do that last night with the boys. Say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right? But now look, to have peace in the heart, you've got to have thanksgiving. And thanksgiving needs to be, or should be, a choice of our will. We shouldn't need a Thanksgiving day to prompt us to be thankful. And we should often possess a thankful spirit. And by the way, isn't it interesting that parents and other people had to teach us to be thankful? You know what that means? That means that being thankful is not natural to us. Because anything you have to be taught to do means it's not a part of your nature. Did you ever have griping classes at your house? Did you ever have a family devotion on how to complain? We don't need lessons on how to complain. We don't need prompting on how to gripe. We don't need any of that because that's what we are by nature. So we have to be taught to be thankful. We have to be instructed to be thankful. At some point, what is not natural to me and you, especially because we're saved, at some point what is not natural to us should become natural, and it should be that we willingly, often, offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving to our God. It's the choice of our will. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest. Thank you, Lord, for another day of life and breath and health. Thank you, Lord, for our good. Thank you, Lord. You know, be a matter of the will. Part of the result, and one of the results of that is peace. So it was a willing offering. It had to be done willingly. Number two, it has to be a choice of the will. Number two, it has to be proactive. It has to be proactive. There's another word that is used in verses 11 through 15 over and over and over again. I won't take the time to do it, but it's found in verse number 11. I won't take the time to read it. It's found in verse number 11. It's found 1-2 times at least in verse 12. It's found in verse number 15. It's the word offer or offered. Offer, offered, offering, offer, offer. Look, not only is thanksgiving a choice of the will, but thanksgiving must be proactive to have peace. This is what I mean. This is very careful. To have peace, I must offer thanksgiving. I must offer thanksgiving. Somebody says, well, you know what? I'm not going to gripe, and I'm not going to murmur, and I'm not going to complain, because I know that's a sin, and I know that makes God unhappy, but I just cannot be thankful. I cannot offer thanksgiving. But listen to me. It's not just not griping, murmuring, and complaining that brings peace. It is the offering of thanksgiving that brings peace. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just not just what we don't do. It's what we do. I must be thankful. I must offer thanksgiving. That's how the peace comes. That's when the peace comes. You know, you may not gripe, and you may not murmur, and you may not complain, but you may still be void of peace. Because the peace doesn't come because of what we don't do. The peace comes because of what we do. Sometimes we measure our spirituality. All we do is measure our spirituality by what we don't do. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. And my whole Christian life is just one big don't. And people who live like that don't have peace. People who just don't gripe, just don't complain, and just don't murmur, don't have peace. It's the people who are proactive with thanksgiving, who offer thanksgiving. And offer it, and offer it, and offer it, and offer it, and offer it. Maybe I'm talking to somebody today. You may not gripe about your spouse. You may not complain about your spouse. You may not murmur about your spouse. But you still don't have peace in your marriage. And you're not going to. Until you offer thanksgiving. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm married. I'm not going to complain about my husband. I'm not going to complain about my wife. I'm not going to complain about my or murmur about my gripe about my. But I don't. You'll never have peace until you start offering thanksgiving. When's the last time you offered Thanksgiving for your spouse? You say, well, I'm not going to gripe about my job. I'm not going to murmur and complain about my job because I know that's a sin. But I'm going to tell you something. You want to read what really cranks God? You go to 1 Corinthians 10 and you'll read what really cranks God is complaining and murmuring and griping. Really upsets Him. So, I got a job. I'm not going to complain about my job, but you still don't have peace in it. Because Thanksgiving, peace does not come as a result of not complaining, not griping, and not murmuring. Peace comes as the result of being thankful. Offering thanks. You understand what I'm talking about this morning? You got to be proactive. It's not good enough just to not gripe, not complain, not murmur. Instead of that, I have to replace those things with a thankful heart.
Yeah.
You ever had this conversation with somebody? Somebody asks you a question. Hey, how's it going? How you doing, man? And you respond, oh, things are good. I can't complain. And then they say back, wouldn't do any good anyway, would it? Or you might say, I can't complain. What good would it do? And you know what? That's true. Shouldn't complain. Shouldn't gripe. But just because you don't, it doesn't mean you have peace. Offering thanksgiving brings peace. That's the difference. Yeah, not griping, not complaining, not murmuring doesn't really do a whole bunch of good. I can't change anything, but I'll tell you what does do good. What does do good, if I look at my whole life and count it all together and add it all up and say, you know what, this is not real enjoyable, this is not great, but Lord, it is a great life, and I thank you for it, and I'm glad I can take a breath today, and I'm glad I can walk today, and I'm thankful I have plenty to eat today, I'm thankful I have a car to drive in today, and I'm thankful for I have a family today, and I'm thankful, instead of just saying it, be in it. And brother, when you begin to be proactive with thanksgiving, you'll have peace. Because it's a result of proactive thanksgiving. So, thanksgiving needs to be a choice of the will. And then thanksgiving needs to be proactive. Brother Joe, are the fans on up today? They are on. Okay, thank you very much. I am just hot. That's okay. If y'all comfortable this morning? No. Some are real comfortable right now. That's why I wondered if the fans were on. Oh, that's all right. Now, it has to be a choice of the will. It has to be proactive. And then number three, I'm done. Thanksgiving has to be all-inclusive. Now, let me show you something. Look at verse number 12. You hear in your Bible today? Look at verse number 12. And if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes. Do you see that? And unleavened wafers. Do you see that? The word unleavened is used twice in that verse. All right, so you're going to bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving, offer thanksgiving. You've got to bring unleavened cakes and unleavened wafers. But now look at verse 13. Beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread. Huh. So the Jewish man had to bring unleavened cakes and unleavened wafers, and then he had to also bring leavened bread. All right, what's leaven in the Bible? Sin. What's unleavened in the Bible? Purity. Right? Unleavened's opposite of leaven. Leaven's a type of sin. Unleavened, that's why we use unleavened bread at the Lord's Supper. Unleavened bread means is a picture of the spotless, sinless body of Jesus Christ, right? Okay. So, I got leaven, which is sin or bad, and I got unleavened, which is purity or good. And when I have a sacrifice of thanksgiving, an offering of thanksgiving, I have to be thankful with leaven, and I have to be thankful with unleavened. So I got to learn to be thankful for the bad and the good. Really, I didn't say it right. Not thankful for the bad or for the good. Thankful in the bad and thankful in the good. I have to be thankful in both. Because isn't that life? Who can raise their hand this morning and say, my whole life has been one big good? Just one big G. Like the Green Bay Packers wearing their helmet, good. Brother Jeff thinks that stands for God. No, it doesn't stand for God. All right. Now, listen. That's life. Now, listen. There's a way to be thankful in every situation. In. Not for. In. I really dislike our president. I've kept that a secret from you over these years, but I really dislike our. If that bothers you, I'm sorry. I really dislike our president. And it's not because he's black. You know, it's not because he's black, because he's as much white as he is black. Get off that. It's the socialist policies and his allegiance to Muslims and the Muslim faith bothers me. Bad, bad, bad. Real, real bad. But I'm not living in anxiety. I have bitten my fingernails to the quick. I'm not eating up with anxiousness this morning. I'm not laying awake at night with nervousness. Laying awake with a cough, but not with nervousness. I'm not laying awake with worry. Because listen, I know I am thankful that my God is not asleep. He's not on vacation. He's not sick in the hospital. He is in His place, on His throne. He is high and lifted up, and He is ruling above all. He is over all that happens, and He is in command, and He even sets up over kingdoms the basest of men. So I may not be thankful for my government, but I'm thankful in my government. I'm thankful in the situation I'm in. Now, wait a minute. This becomes a lot more difficult when it comes to personal circumstances like health problems. Like financial setbacks. Like family trouble. Family trouble. God doesn't expect out of us what we're not capable of. For somebody to run around and say, I'm thankful for cancer, that'd be idiotic. I'm thankful for our family troubles. Oh, you're not. You'd change them in a heartbeat if you could. But you don't have to be thankful for them. You've got to be thankful in them. In them. Now, let me show you. We're done. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look here what Paul said. You're familiar with this passage. And it's, the word thanksgiving is not used, but it's in the whole spirit of the verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, let's see. Let's begin reading in verse number 7. This is familiar territory to many people. Now, notice what it says. Paul is writing here, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul had physical trouble, health problems. For this thing, these health problems, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. God, take this away. Let me ask you a question. Does it sound like Paul was thankful for that? The three times he asked God to what? Take it away. Why would you want to take something away that you're thankful for? I don't think Paul is thankful for it. I don't think he has to be. Look at verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what God told Paul. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. What's the next word? In my infirmities. Doesn't say for them. Says in them. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know what Paul is thankful for? He's thankful for the strength of God. He's thankful for the grace of God. He's thankful for the presence of God. And it was the infirmity, the sickness, the weakness, the reproaches, the bad things in his life where he saw God's strength. He wasn't thankful for the persecutions. They beat him 5 times with 39 stripes. I dare you to say that he jumped up after that and said, I'm thankful for that beating. Come on, man. You, that's nonsense. That makes lost people go, what? You're not thankful for a beating where they beat you within an inch of your life? You're not thankful for being shipwrecked and spending a whole night in the water? I'm not thankful for that. But I can be thankful in that. I can be thankful in this distress. I can be thankful in this persecution. I can be thankful in this sickness. I can be thankful in this financial setback. I got to be thankful in it. Because if I'm going to have peace, I've got to learn that Thanksgiving is all-inclusive. I mean, I'm thankful when I'm sick, and I'm thankful when I'm healthy, and I'm thankful when I've got no money, and I'm thankful when I have money, and I'm thankful when everything, when things aren't working, and when things are working, and I'm thankful when my family is having a tough time, and I'm thankful when my family, everything is going good. I can learn in it every situation to be thankful. It's all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive. So quit trying to be thankful for your trouble. And be thankful in your trouble. There's a big difference, isn't there? I would lie to you. I would be lying through my teeth, and it would be false piety to stand in this pulpit and say, I'm really thankful my brother has stage 4 brain cancer, has about 6 to 8 months to live. That'd be false piety. I'm not thankful for that. I'm not thankful for it. But I can be thankful in it. I'm thankful he has a loving and dedicated wife. I'm thankful he has a loving and dedicated in-laws, family that he's part of, married into. I'm thankful that the therapist comes and helps him. I'm thankful for a lot of things in his cancer. But I'm not thankful for it. And you know what? The thought of losing a brother is not very exciting. Some of you have done that. But I'm not living in anxiety. I'm sad. But I'm not living in worry. I'm living in peace. Because my God is not sick. He's not on vacation. He's not asleep. He's where he's supposed to be. He's on his throne. And he's in command. And he rules over the affairs of man. And everything's all right in my Father's house. And I can be thankful in it. And you can too. Quit trying to sound spiritual. You're not thankful for your financial setback. You're not thankful for your trouble. But you could be thankful in it. And that's a big difference. You're going to have peace in your heart. It's the result of thanksgiving. It's a matter of your will, choosing to be thankful. It's proactive. It's not just not complaining, not griping, not murmuring. It's being proactive and being thankful. And it has to be all-inclusive. You find a way to be thankful in the leaven and the unleavened. The good and the bad. And the result is peace. Peace. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for what your book teaches us. And I hope and pray this could be a simple reminder today of how to have peace in our hearts. And I thank you, oh God, for laying these things out in the Bible. And we can take it, be practical, put to practical use in our lives and have peace in our hearts. And I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being able to share it with the folks this morning.